today on Real Radio.
We want to embrace all these things. And if it's cool, hip, foreign, all right. But the God of our fathers? The Bible. Give me something new, man. I don't want that. That's a has-been. So, we have other cultures, other religions being taught in our schools on the category, or over the banner, I should say, over that class is social diversity. Don't call it religion.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges, a narrative that describes Israel being in conflict against her neighbors. Now that alone has a resemblance to today's situation, of course, and therefore offers much for our worldview today. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a look at chapter 3. It's a presentation called His Mercy Endures Forever.
Could there be any parallels with what happened to Israel? Hey, does anybody have a brand new dollar, the coin? Anybody have one on you? Oh, you have one. Come on up here. Our currency has always said, in God we trust. But I'm looking at the coin. The face with George Washington on it, it says George Washington. First president, yikes, 1789, I can't read it, it's too small, but George Washington. Flip to the back, it says United States of America. Okay, I think I can figure that out. United States of America has the Statue of Liberty and a $1 sign. Okay, that's what it says on it. Hang on. I know. That's what it says in the face. If you read the face, when you slap it on the counter, I just read to you exactly what it says. But to appease the ACLU, it was put on the side. Why the side? It's the first part that wears out, is the sides. Whew. Boy, thank the ACLU. The part that wears out first is the God part. That's a good thing, isn't it? So nobody's offended. We'll put God on the side that nobody reads, that nobody will identify it's even there. We'll put it on there to shut the Christians up. But Satan can delight in the fact that that's the part that wears off first is the sides. Isn't that interesting? So that's a coincidence. You're right. America's not interested in God anymore. We need to wake up and just be more passionate about our Lord than ever. America doesn't care about the Bible anymore. America wants something new, you guys. America wants something foreign, something unpredictable, something that's different from what our fathers knew. Exactly what Israel did. We don't want the old God of Joshua and Moses. We want something new. We want some of these new gods. And they ran away from the Lord and they pursued other gods. They cashed them in. You may not be doing that, but because our nation is void and vacant, it's bound to political correctness. And don't want to offend anybody. No one has stood up for anything. And so now America's falling for everything. In Psalm 106:13, it says, "But they soon forgot what the Lord had done for them and did not wait for his counsel. In the desert they gave in to their cravings. And in the wasteland, they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for, but he sent leanness, wasting disease upon their soul. You know what that psalm is about? We are sick of manna. God, we don't want any more of your manna. Remember the children of Israel walking around the desert? God's feeding them every day. Manna, manna, manna. They said, we're sick of manna. Now look, we probably would have said, I'm sick of manna too. We probably would have been right there alongside of them. But watch what happens. They complained to God. They didn't like his food. And they said, we want quail. We want quail. So God's caused a wind to blow. And all these quail started flying in at about 3 feet high and below. Just right in the strike zone. And they started whacking with these sticks, these quail. And they started eating. And God gave them what they wanted. We want quail. God gave them quail, and it said he gave them quail so much it started to come out of their nose. They started gagging on quail. Quail coming out, quail boogers. Can you imagine? What's that? Dude, you got a bird coming out of your nose. But he sent leanness into their souls. We want this. And they got apathetic in their soul. Wow. Verses 8 to 14, his mercy endures forever. Yes, thank you, Jesus. But listen, by punishing his people in love, God gets their attention. And he does punish, he does discipline in love. Make no mistake about it. He sent them to their room, is what he did, so to speak. Verse 8 says, therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served that guy 8 years. Look at verse 9. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel. You see that? He disciplines them. They go into captivity. They cry. And then God sends them the deliverer. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Verse 10. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. And he went out to war, and the Lord delivered that guy from Mesopotamia into his hands, and his hand prevailed over that guy. So the land had rest for 40 years. Israel was at peace for 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Watch this. And the children of Israel, again, did evil in the sight of the Lord. Like a yo-yo. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel. Listen to that. You guys, the Lord strengthened the enemy, that's Moab, to come against Israel. See, why? Why did God want to do this? Did God want to strengthen Israel's enemies? Come on, are you guys out here or not? Come on. The answer is no. But why did God do it? Because they insisted on disobeying the Lord. And it's better, listen, it's better to be disciplined by the Lord than to be sent these enemies with their pagan gods and go further so God would discipline. But they're not learning. They're not learning. So now they're getting callous. They're getting apathetic. God sends the enemy, Eglon, the king of Moab, to discipline his people. Church, listen. The Lord always sends Israel's arch enemies to discipline them. Guess what? It's true about any nation that God loves. Does God love America? Yes. Is America wayward from God? Yes. If that's true, then we would seem to be able to detect our arch enemies coming against us. That's exactly what's going on. Do we not recognize it? Do we not see it? It's absolutely amazing. I got an alarming email today from a law enforcement guy in Europe. England is out of control. England just found out from covert activity that there's a parallel government that's running alongside its government. They've been holding court hearings. They've been having judgments made. They've been having edicts ruled. And many of the mosques in England, they've been implementing Sharia law among the Muslim communities in England, circumnavigating the law of England. It's amazing. A dual government alongside. Wow. That's a form of a type of a coup. And England doesn't know what to do. See, that never happened in America. Could it be that the same ideology that attacked the United States on September 11th is the same mindset that still has an agenda and it's very, very active? Could it be that the Lord is strengthening the hands of our enemies to come against us because we have told God, get out. We want something new. We want a new God. We want something different. Get your Ten Commandments out of here. Get your Bible out of our classrooms. We don't swear on the Bible anymore. We'll swear on anything somebody wants to swear on. Could it be? Is God alive? Oh, God's alive. See, listen, you can't have it both ways. Oh, God bless us. Give us great weather. Give us prosperity. Give us great crops. Keep us safe. Just stay out of our lives, will you? That's exactly what, I'm not saying you, I'm saying our nation. Well, it says here that in verse 12 that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. This must break the Lord's heart. Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon and Amalek and went and defeated Israel and took possession of the city of Palms. That's not Palm Springs. The city of Palms is Jericho. Absolutely. Well, you know what? It looks like Palm Springs. Just palm trees. In a sense, almost like a forest in the wilderness. Jericho. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab. How long? 18 years. It took them 18 years to cry out to God. And then fourth and final consideration here. His mercy endures forever. Verses 15 to 31 teach us, though, that by providing yet another deliverer, God is amazing. If we'll just turn to him, look what Israel does. He uses events to his purpose. Look at verse 15. But when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, here we go again, the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. You got to mark that in your Bible. It's kind of cool. Any of you left-handed? There's hope. Look at that. Isn't that great? You know, the Lord's right-handed. Did you know that? He says he's right-handed in the Bible. He says, I will uphold you with the strength of my right hand. He's right-handed. But he also uses lefties because this is a great verse right here. Ehud's a left-handed guy. You say, what's he pointing that out for? This is cool. By him, the children of Israel sent tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Ehud's going to be the tax bearer. He's going to have his donkey all loaded up with bucks. He's going to be bringing tax money to the king. Verse 16. Now, Ehud made for himself a dagger. It was double-edged and a cubit in length, about 18 to 21 inches on the average, about 19 and a half inches long. A dagger. And fastened it under his clothes on his right thigh. What's with the details? Because when you entered into the king's presence, soldiers were always right-handed. They always had everything rigged for the soldiers to have the shield in the left hand, the right hand with the sword. So this guy's a lefty. And he's bringing the tax money. So they all want to see him. Bring in the money. Bring in the money. The guy comes in and they search him before he goes before the king. Assuming he's a right-hander, they search him on the wrong side for his sword. All right, they do a pat-down. All right, he's clean. Let him in. The guy's a lefty. They didn't find the sword on the right thigh, the dagger. So he goes into the presence. Now watch this. This gets really, I'm sorry. This gets fun if you're a guy. And so, verse 17, he brings in the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now, Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who had carried the tribute. Verse 19, but he himself turned back from the stone images that were at Gilgal. Listen, our man here, Ehud, he did not go in the way of the pagan worshipers of Israel. Israel went after all these pagan gods. And how sad it is, it just says at Gilgal. Gilgal was the place when the children of Israel crossed over. They built their altar unto the Lord and worshiped the Lord. So what does the enemy do with all the pagan worship? They come in and they push out. They push out the monuments and markers where God was worshiped. Where they worshiped the Lord after crossing the Jordan River. These pagan deities are brought in and set up in Gilgal. Ehud did not fall for pagan worship. He kept himself pure. This is cool. He didn't fall for those stone images. He said, I have a secret message for you, O king. He said, keep silent. And all who attend him went out from him, that is the king. So Ehud came to him. Now he was sitting upstairs. Now the New King James Version Bible puts it exactly like this. Now he was sitting upstairs in his cool private chamber. I don't know if it was painted really slick or decorated from where, but my New King James' cool private chamber. It's the upper room where the breeze blows through. It's a very comfortable place, and it's very private, a place to recline. Then Ehud said, I have a message for you, from God for you. So he arose from his seat. Then Ehud reached in his left hand and took out the dagger from his right thigh. So he does this bit right here. Okay. And thrust it into his belly. I told you this is a guy part. Even the hilt went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade. For he did not draw the dagger out of his belly, and his entrails came out. I think we have a graphic of this. Then Ehud, verse 23, went out through the porch and shut the doors of the upper room behind him and locked them. And when he had gone out, Eglon's servants came to look, and to their surprise, the doors of the upper room were still locked. So they said, he is probably attending to his needs. He's probably going to the bathroom or sleeping or taking a nap in the cool chamber. Verse 25, so they waited till they were embarrassed. Can you imagine? King, your honor, king, on and on and on. They were embarrassed now, and still he had not opened the doors from the upper room. Therefore, they took the key and opened them, and there was their master fallen dead on the floor, but Ehud had escaped while they delayed and passed beyond the stone images and escaped to Seraph. And it happened that when he arrived, that he blew the trumpet in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mountains, and he led them. Verse 28, then he said to them, follow me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. So they went down from him, seized the fords or the valleys and the canyons of the Jordan leading to Moab, and did not allow anyone to cross over. And at that time, they killed about 10,000 men of Moab, all stout men of valor, or we would say buffed or well, you know, worked out guys of valor, big of body and big of heart. Not a man escaped. Verse 30, so Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel. And the land had rested for 80 years. There was no problem. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who had killed 600 men of the Philistines with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. So now there's the record now of these kings. These judges. What happens? Israel gets a good judge. They have peace. When they have peace, they go to work. They make money. They do well. They get prosperous. Bad guys move in to cash in on the bucks. They intermingle, adopt their gods, forget the Lord. Moral decay falls apart. They can't defend themselves. They're taken captive. They forget God over and over again. Over and over again. It is absolutely amazing, but yet very true. History repeats itself. We don't want to do that. And yet America is doing that. America Tonight, listen, America Tonight does not believe it's at war. I was reading today a book that's, I think, 11 or 12 years old, written by Judge Bork. Robert Bork, anybody remember him? The title of the book is Slouching Towards Gomorrah, The Decline of America. Wow, that's an interesting title. I opened it up, chapter 1. He goes through what happens in a nation before it's taken captive. And one of the last things that he lists in the book is that the people lose the will to defend themselves. All the firepower, but no will. He went through the Wishniks of the Vietnam era. And after the Vietnam War, a North Vietnamese general defected to America. And Judge Bork interviews him in the book. Do you know what he said? And it's there for you to read, chapter 1. He said, the North Vietnamese, we were delighted, I quote, we were delighted when Jane Fonda came because she was doing more for us than what we could have ever done. He said, there was no way for us to win the war in Vietnam. But after she came back to America, the civil unrest on university campuses broke out. And the people picketing against the war, America lost its will to fight. We couldn't believe it. But against all odds, we beat America. And America was defeated because it lost its will to fight. That's the enemy who's now here in America. He now lives here. He said America lost its will to fight. America has lost its will to defend itself again. We don't want to know. We want to embrace all these things. And if it's cool, hip, foreign, all right. But the God of our fathers? The Bible. Give me something new, man. That's a has-been. So, we have other cultures, other religions being taught in our schools. Over that class is social diversity. Don't call it religion.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called His Mercy Endures Forever. It's a presentation taken from the book of Judges, chapter 3, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Last week here on Real Radio, we presented parts of Pastor Jack's series called Why Jesus? Of course, it was delivered in the context of Passion Week, wherein we commemorate the suffering of Messiah. Well, we're making that series available on both CD and DVD, whichever you prefer. Now, that series, Why Jesus, is ideal for your friend or relative or co-worker who may be thinking about receiving and becoming a follower of Jesus, but there may be certain stumbling blocks keeping him from doing so. Well, if you heard last week's editions of Real Radio, you know how well these kinds of issues were dealt with and communicated. So, for your gift to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Why Jesus. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and specify the CD series or the DVD series. Call us toll-free at 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of this contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.